Chapter 8. As his X-Wing cleared the dorsal launch bay on the Bothan assault cruiser Rau Roost, Gavin Darklighter tugged back on the stick and rolled to starboard to watch the rest of the squadron emerge. The Bothan assault cruiser was one of the latest additions to the New Republic fleet. While slightly smaller than a Victory-class Star Destroyer, and possessed of leaner and less angular lines, the Rau Roost boasted 20% more firepower than a Vic, and almost half again as much in terms of shielding and armor. The ship had been designed to take a severe pounding and still hammer an enemy. Gavin recalled the discussion he'd had with his wife and his sister when the Bothans announced plans to build the assault cruisers. Peace had been declared with the Imperial Remnant, so the ships were seen as either a foolish allocation of resources, hints at a future Bothan aggression, or as far as Sarah and Roska were concerned, a gross waste of money. Given that peace reigned in the galaxy, both of them thought the money needed to build one of the ships could be better spent on healing the scars of decades-long war. Their arguments had been persuasive, but Gavin had reserved judgment, and as he looked down at the ship, he was glad the Bothans had built it. The fighter hangars were amidships and had launch apertures that would let the fighter's head up or down as needed to get into battle. The dual launch paths also meant recovering fighters after a battle was faster, and Gavin very much appreciated that detail. He keyed his comm unit. One flight on me. Five, you have two, and nine, you have three. His two subordinate commanders, Major Iniri Forge and Major Alan Varth, acknowledged his command, and not for the first time did the incongruity of having female voices linked to those flight designators strike him. For almost the whole of Gavin's time in the squadron, nine had been Corin Horn, and five had been Hobby or Jansen or Tico Selchu. Then again, lead was almost always Wedge. But now I'm the leader. The flight spread out and turned toward the center of the star system. It wasn't much to look at, with an asteroid belt separating two small, very hot planets from three larger gas giants. None of the planets themselves supported life, though the largest gas giant did have some moons that were almost hospitable, if one could tolerate a low-oxygen, high-nitrogen mix for breathing. If not for some mining done in the asteroids, and the fact that traffic from Bastion uses this as a nav point to the corporate sector, this would be another dull spot on star charts. The system didn't even have a name, which struck Gavin as appropriate, for it had been largely without any notoriety for as long as folks had visited it. That had changed within a week when a freighter stopped to scout the asteroids for any salvage. Fighters of unknown origin had jumped the ship, but the freighter got away and reported the incident. Admiral Creefay had taken his Rau Roost out to investigate. Rogue Squadron shifted from playing pirates to becoming pirate hunters and shipped along. Gavin punched up an analysis program and loaded it into his targeting computer. Catch. Push sensors. We know there were snub fighters out here, but I need to find their base. The droid warbled his understanding quickly. Iniri's voice crackled through the comm speakers in his helmet. Lead, we have transient contacts in the asteroid belt. 247 Mark 30. They're shadowing us.
I copy. Got enough to identify them?
Matches aren't coming up easily, so I'm guessing uglies.
Keep an eye on them.
Gavin thought for a second, then nodded to himself.
On my mark, all rogues will break onto course 270 Mark 27. We're aiming for the big asteroid there, the one that's slowly rolling.
Confirmations of the orders came back to him over the comm unit. Gavin reached up and flicked a switch that locked the fighter's S-foils in attack position. He studied his sensor scopes but got nothing.
Well, if they won't show themselves easily, we'll just have to root them out ourselves.
Rogues, on my mark. 3, 2, 1. Mark. He kicked his X-Wing up on its port stabilizers and eased the stick back, then leveled out and saw the rest of his flight crews in behind him. He switched his comm unit over to the command frequency he shared with the Rau Roost.
Rogue leader here. We have contacts and are investigating.
Understood, Rogue Leader. Good hunting.
Gavin forced himself to take a deep breath, then to exhale slowly. While he trusted Iniri's judgment about the ships they'd be flushing from the asteroids, he couldn't shake the sense of dread that came with the memory of his first Sim encounter with the Coral Skippers.
Even though we've run Sims against ships, coming up against them for real will be very dangerous.
From behind the big asteroid burned opposition. Ketch painted contact after contact on Gavin's secondary monitor. All of the ships were, in fact, uglies, cobbled together from parts of old fighters. They included TIE wings, which were TIE fighter cockpits, married to Y-wing engine nacelles. X-ceptors, which were X-wing bodies with TIE interceptor wings, and triple-finned tri-fighters, nicknamed clutches because the ball cockpit was held in the grip of the three fins' forward edges. All of the ships were as common in pirate fleets as hydrogen was in the galaxy, and all of them could be very deadly. Gavin dropped his targeting reticle on the lead clutch and flicked his weapons over to lasers. He linked them for dual fire, then glanced at his targeting monitor. The range to target scrolled down quickly, but that concerned him less than another detail the sensor scan provided him. The clutch had no shields. There was no reason any pilot going into combat wouldn't bring his shields up to full power. The tri-fighter was known to possess shields, which was one of the reasons it had become a successful pirate ship design. Without shields, the pirates would never stand a chance against the rogues.
Ketch, get me their tactical frequency.
Gavin nudged his stick to the right and triggered a burst that burned red past the clutch's nose.
Five, you show any shields on these guys?
Negative, lead. Hulls are weak, too.
What's happening here?
Gavin lined up another shot at the clutch and waited for it to fire first. The clutch kept coming, closing well within optimal range, then finally shot a green laser bolt at Gavin's X-wing. The energy sent a static hiss through the comm unit's speakers as it dissipated against the shields. It had done less damage to them than it should have, and only one of the two lasers on the clutch had fired.
And the only reason a pilot has to get that close is if he's shooting with visual data. His sensors must be out.
The clutch flashed past, and Gavin rolled to starboard, then hauled back on the stick and started chasing the clutch. He inverted, then dived and goosed his throttle to follow the tri-fighter through its evasive maneuvers. He switched his lasers over to quad fire, then settled his middle finger on the stick's secondary trigger button.
This modification was meant to use against the skips, but could be of use here, I think.
He lined up his shot, then pulled the secondary trigger. The lasers cycled quickly, producing a hail of down-powered laser darts that stippled little burn marks all over the clutch's fins. The fire gnawed away at the pirate ship, burning off black-and-white droid fist insignia emblazoned there. The clutch rolled to port, then climbed sharply. Gavin chopped his throttle back, inverted, and started to climb after the clutch. He let the pirate fighter climb into his sights, then sprayed more laser fire over the ship. These bolts struck on the forward canopy and clearly surprised the pilot. The clutch jerked to starboard, then one of the ion engines belched a long jet of flaming exhaust. The other engine flared for a moment, then both shut down. Gavin started to cruise in for a closer look at the fighter when a heavy turbolaser bolt slashed through the void between him and it. Ketch shrilled a warning, so Gavin rolled to port and dove toward the large asteroid that had been his goal. The climb after the clutch had taken him above the asteroid's horizon, exposing him to the ship that lay hidden behind it. He vaguely recognized it as a Nebulon B escort frigate, but that was only from the general profile. The ship had been hammered badly, with gaping holes opened in the hull. His sensors showed some flickerings of shields, but they remained weak enough that Gavin knew a strafing run by his X-wing would punch through and do serious damage.
Ketch, put their tactical frequency on comm channel 4.
The requisite button on his comm unit began to glow, so Gavin punched it, intensifying the light.
This is Colonel Gavin Darklighter of the New Republic. Identify yourselves and stand down, or you will be destroyed.
This is...
The voice coming through the speakers started bold and defiant, but faltered quickly, weakening sharply.
This is Urias Jackson of the Freelance.
Lead, break port.
Without thinking, Gavin juked his fighter left, then saw green laser bolts blaze through the space he'd just left. A TIE wing dived through, followed closely by Rogue Two. Kral Neville's quad burst burned one of the Y-wing nacelles from the ugly, leaving the pirate fighter to spiral down and explode against the asteroid's craggy surface.
Thanks, Two.
Just my job, lead, watching your back. Captain Jackson, order your forces to stand down. They can't fight us. Your ships are all damaged. You don't want to slaughter any more than we do. Weariness weighed heavily in the man's reply. You're right, of course. There comes a time when you have to stop fighting. I'll give the order, Colonel.
Gavin punched up the squadron's tactical frequency.
The pirates will be standing down. Fire only if fired upon. Kral's X-Wing came up on Gavin's port side. The Quarren pilot got a look at the frigate, then glanced in Gavin's direction.
It looks reef-raked in high seas, Colonel. What could have done it?
I don't know, too, but I don't think we'll like the answer when we get it.
Gavin saw to the recovery of the pirates to their Rau roost, then joined Admiral Creefay in his ready room. Aside from the two guards standing inside the door, the Bothan Admiral was alone with the pirate leader.
Ah, Colonel Darklighter, thank you for joining us. You've spoken with Captain Jackson.
I have. Gavin turned to the seated human and offered him his hand.
Thank you for ending the fight so quickly.
The pirate glanced up, his dark eyes filled with exhaustion and something else. The man looked haggard. His long hair and neatly trimmed beard were white. It, and his pale flesh, contrasted sharply with his black uniform, and save for the red of bloodshot eyes, the man could have been a simple black-and-white holograph.
I should thank you for letting me permit my people to live.
Triest Creefay waved Gavin to a chair.
You may not know this, but Urias Jackson has quite a history with the Freelance. He operated as a privateer raiding Imperial shipping, then continued to prey on imps during the Warlord period. Since the peace, he's been out here on the rim, taking off the occasional unreconstructed Imperial, making a run for the Remnant. Pickings have been slim, and his choice of targets has made him a low-priority issue for the New Republic.
Gavin nodded slowly.
I remember seeing a holodrama about him once.
Jackson snorted.
Purest fiction. A holojournalist came out to report on my activities. She had some romantic idea of what we were doing. She was disappointed, so she created her fantasy and someone committed it to Hala.
Triest's head came up.
I take it what happened to you recently on the rim wasn't a fantasy.
Not mine. The man hugged his arms to his chest.
I set up an operation to lure in people wanting to travel in a convoy to the Remnant. They met on Garki and departed on a schedule I'd devised, to a point of my choosing. I intended to capture them all. We arrived just before the last ship was supposed to get in and found the ships already under attack. The things hitting them, I guess they were ships, I'd never seen their like before. Gravitic anomalies all over. They shot plasma that ate into ships. They oriented on us almost immediately.
The man's eyes focused distantly, and his voice shrank.
I did what we could, but there were too many of them. We plotted a blind jump out, then another, which landed us here. My hyperdrive motivators blew, and the structural damage... Well, I don't know if the Freelance could ever hit light speed again. I know I don't have the resources to salvage her.
Jackson looked up at Triest.
So, Admiral, you've caught me. I don't think the old Imperial bounty is still good, but I'm certain someone will pay for my carcass. Other than that, I'm useless. If I weren't, I'd not have lost my command.
Oh, no, Captain Jackson, not at all. Triest nodded at Gavin.
Colonel, if you would see Captain Jackson to guest quarters, I would be obliged.
Jackson raised an eyebrow.
I don't understand. You met and fought with an enemy we're going to be seeing a lot more of. Much more than we want. Your understanding of their tactics and nature is worth far more than any bounty. The Bothan smiled carefully.
I need to know what you know. I need to understand what you understand. If we can't learn how to deal with this threat, you'll find that, all too quickly, your Freelance could be left the most powerful ship in the whole of the New Republic.